what a joy it is to be able to gather today in the house of the Lord. I'm telling you what I've already experienced even when we walked in. The presence of the Lord was worth our fighting the traffic to get here this morning. I appreciate the goodness of God. The older I get, the more I appreciate God, His graciousness and His mercy, His love, His loving kindness, His hand. I was driving down yesterday, headed to the meeting, and I got an old tape by, or CD now, by Dr. Percy Ray. And I slipped it into the radio. And the title of the message was, Watch Them Ghost. Or Watch That Ghost. And he's talking about when Jesus was walking on the water, they supposed it was a spirit. He said, your ghost may very well turn in to be the Lord. He said, the very thing that's got you scared to death may get in your boat and settle the storm. I nearly had to pull off the side of the road. I'm telling you, we have a great God. He shows up at the most inopportune times and comes to us in most difficult avenues. But He does. And I'm certainly glad. I've been wanting to come to this meeting for years. Brother Tim has invited me, and for 20 years I've been trying to get here. And I just happened to be in driving distance. And I'm glad the Lord allowed us to come. Boy, I could have already left. Say it was well worth our trip. I'm telling you, we got a great God. I just can't get over saying that. We got a great God. He's wonderful and He's marvelous. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 1. I want to give you just a little thought that the Lord has placed on our heart. Sometimes I have preached a series of messages in the past on considering things considered. All through the Word of God, you'll find the Word of God telling us to consider certain things. He says for us to consider the raven. He tells us to consider the lilies. God told Job in chapter 38, he said, consider the wondrous works of God. Yes, then Ezekiel said, consider stuff for removal. and multiple things. But this is one of those thoughts that the Lord has placed on my heart for this morning. Notice, if you will, in chapter 1, verse number 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know. My people doeth not consider. I want to preach for a few moments this morning, and I promise you, as old as I am now, we'll go to lunch before 15 after. But I want to preach for a few moments on how the ox... Consider how the ox knows his owner. It says here that the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel, that's his people, doeth not know. In other words, he's saying the animal has more sense than my people. Matter of fact, in this particular statement, the animal knows more than my people. He said, my people don't consider who I am. But he says the ox considers his owner and his master. But my people don't consider who I am. I believe the reason we get in a spiritual drought is that we quit considering who God is. And we quit considering what God is saying and doing and who He is into our behalf. I want to look at that for just a few moments this morning. I thought about how the ox knows his owner. I thought about this. How did the ox become the owners? I thought about he was either bought by him or he was born into his herd. I want to tell you, friend, I got in both ways. I was bought by him and then I was birthed by him. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad, my dear friend, that I've been redeemed. Can I say this to you? The ransom has been made. Somebody said the ransom has been paid, and it has been. The ransom has been paid for the whole world. Did you know the whole world has the ransom paid for them? You know what a ransom is? It's when someone captures another and holds them until the payment is paid. You and I were helped in captivity. The whole world was held into captivity until Jesus paid the ransom. I'm glad that the ransom's paid, but thanks be unto God, I go beyond being ransomed. I have been redeemed. I'm glad the ransom was paid for me, and I realized it one day. I was the ox was born unto him, and then was could have been birthed into his herd. Ah, oh, praise God. Notice with me, first of all, as we look at this ox, how the ox knows his owner. First of all, his owner feeds him. You know how the ox knows his owner? That's where he's fed. He may run everywhere, go everywhere, but he's going to come back home because he's hungry. And the owner is going to take care of that ox. He feeds that ox. That tells me about the satisfaction of the ox. Can I say to you, friend, I'm satisfied with the provisions of my master. Is he a great savior? Is he a great master? Yes, he is. Amen. I thought about how he's fed me physically. God has taken care of me. Just a hillbilly hick from up over on the Cumberland Plateau in Tennessee, and nothing and nobody, but God has taken and shown His grace and provided our need. Has He done that? Is anybody in here disappointed in the Master's provision? No, God has taken care of us. Amen. I thought about He's fed me physically. I thought about that little lady over there in Zarephath. There's a prophet that comes up to the fence out over in the front yard. She's out there gathering sticks. The Bible said she gathered two. She's getting two sticks. She's going to build a fire. Somebody said you can't build a fire with two sticks. It's according to how big the two sticks are. So it tells me she doesn't have much to cook. If it's going to take two sticks to build that and to bake what she has, she don't have much. And I see as Elijah comes up to the fence and says, "Ma'am, would you fetch me some water?" Well, she turns to go get the water. Water was hard enough to come by. But then he said, "Bring me a little cake in thine hand." Now Elijah thinks the little cake is probably already made. He said, "Bring it in thy hand." He probably thinks there's some leftovers in the house. What he don't understand, there ain't no leftovers. What he don't understand, there's nothing in the house but a little handful of meal. She said, "Sir, I don't have anything but just a handful of meal. I've read some commentators. Having read commentators, you find that's what they are, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Commentators. And they said that Elijah had exalted himself and he should not have asked for that last meal. Now I want to tell you, friend, what God is showing us is that you can't put him but first, and when you do, he'll take care of the rest of it.
Amen.
Put God first, he'll take care of the rest of it. And I see here that she goes in, she may have said to that little lad, I believe that little lad later on became the servant boy of Elijah and Elisha. And I believe that little lad was, she probably said to him, son, go in there and turn that meal barrel upside down, probably an old wooden barrel, and peck the sides of it. Make sure there's nothing left in the cracks. But don't forget to turn it back upright. See, if you ever leave your meal barrel turned upside down, your faith has collapsed. But if you ever turn it back up with the open end up, there's no telling he'll come by and put a little bit in the meal barrel. Somebody said, I'm going to leave it turned upside down. Don't do it. There's never been an empty barrel where God's involved. So she reaches in there. The little boy comes in. And he may have a double handful. His hands are small. And he said, Mama, this is all there is. She said, lay it right here, son. I'm going to bake a little cake. But me and you are not going to eat it. I'd say that little old boy didn't understand Mama's philosophy. He didn't understand Mama taking that last little bit and giving to that stranger outside in the yard, that unusual looking fella. What, Mama, you telling me you're going to give it to him? Yeah, there's just something about it that I feel in my heart. And she is from Zarephath. She's a descendant of Jezebel. There's just something in my heart that I feel like I need to give this to him. Have you ever felt that in your heart? When there was too much month left at the end of your money? And God says, now here's what I want you to do. Has God ever shortened a month for anybody? Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we got a God that'll take care of us. And we need to consider him for that. I can see the little boy didn't understand Brother Mike, but 6 months down the road, he sure was glad Mama obeyed God. Oh, listen to me, youngins. You may have moms and dads, and you maybe want the good things of life, and maybe just not enough money to provide it. You're maybe a little tore up because they take what you think belongs to them, that you should buy for them. They put it in an offering plate. Could I tell you that's the greatest thing they can do to take care of you?
Amen.
That's the greatest thing they can do. That's the best bank you can invest in. It's the bank of God. That's the greatest thing they can do. You will be taken care of because Mom and Daddy believes God. Is that right? So I see that she makes the cake. Elijah eats it. Well, I believe Elijah says, now, ma'am, you might want to go in and make you and your son one. She says, but that's all of it. He said, you might ought to check again. She goes in there, and that little boy said, Mama, don't even look, and I'll peck the sides of that barrel. It's it. Well, you might ought to go check again. And she goes, and sure enough, there's another handful in there. Somebody said, you believe God filled that meal barrel up? No. If he had, he should have had one big shout and spell, and it would have been all over. And could I say to you that a full meal barrel will eventually run out? But one that somebody's putting a handful in every day won't ever run out.
Yeah.
Hey,
up in Chicago preaching, and there was this lady came to me and the pastor one evening after the service, and she said to the pastor, "Pastor, would you and the reverend like to come over to my home for a brunch?" And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, what is it?" "I'm from Tennessee. I don't know what a brunch is." I said, "What does it taste like?" And she kind of sniggered. And she said, "Oh, no, preacher," said, "a brunch is a little snack between breakfast and lunch." I said, "I've been having them for nearly 60 years, and I didn't know what to call them." I said, "Sure, we'll go." I believe that the woman wanted a brunch, a breakfast, a lunch, a mid-afternoon snack, a supper, a midnight snack. I believe there was enough in the meal barrel. You cannot outgive God. God will take care of his own. Amen. I'm convinced of that. Somebody said, "Oh, no, preacher, I don't think that's all right." Yeah, that's right. You know about the little boy that went into the general store and the bottle jar of candy was on the counter. And the clerk would say, "Son, reach in there and get you a handful." And he never would. After a while, the store clerk gave him some candy, put it in his hand. The little boy stuck it in his pocket. And the dad said to him a little while afterwards, said, "Son, why is it? It's a little embarrassing that you don't get that candy when he asks you to. Why don't you get it?" He said, "Daddy, his hand's bigger than mine." Can I tell you, for nearly 40 years now, for nearly 40 years, me and God have been swapping handfuls. I don't have nothing. My hand's so small. But I want to tell you, when he gives back, look what a hand he has. He not only can touch us with that hand and soothe us with that hand, he can provide for us with that hand. Isn't that wonderful? He's fed me physically. He's fed me spiritually. He's doing that this morning. But I want to tell you, every day, he feeds us spiritually. Then let me say, secondly, not only do we see how the ox knows his owner is that the owner feeds him, but secondly, the owner fences him. The owner knows that he knows his owner because he's inside his fence. The ox just won't let the owner, or the owner just won't let the ox run wild. The ox is inside the fence. Everybody outside the fence knows he's in the fence. You come off of Interstate 40 and you come down a little hill and turn left up to our place, and you first pass Wendell Oates' little place, and he's got a fence around his place. In that fence is a few cattle. Everybody knows that those cattle belongs to Wendell because they're in his fence.
That's right.
You come on up to the next one, and that's our place. And there's a cow or two in there. And everybody knows that's ours because it's in our fence. You go on up the road, and there's the Gallagher place and the Neyland place. And all of them's got a few cattle, and they're in the fence. Everybody knows who they belong to because they're in their fence. Can I say hallelujah? I don't know of any other pasture I'd rather be in. I don't know of any other fence I'd rather be fenced in with than the fence of my God. That's security, amen. See, ownership, I'm sorry, Brother Tim, I got an ability to tear up an anvil with a rubber hammer. But notice this. We see here that it proves ownership. It proves that you belong. Is that right? Listen to me carefully here, please. Hear what I'm saying. Young folk, I know you're in a Christian school. You got one of the greatest opportunities and the privilege that anybody's ever got. Would you turn this down, sir? I'm sorry, I broke it. Let me just hold it here.
It says here, you have the greatest privilege and the opportunity that any children in America's got. A greater privilege. But there could be those in here that's kind of faking it. And you're in with those that are fenced in. So you're just kind of playing along with those that's fenced in until you get old enough to break out of the fence. Can I tell you, if you get out of the fence, before long you'll want to get back in. And it's not as easy to get back in as it is to get out. Think about this. The prodigal son left home to get free. Left home to get free, and when he got free, he found out he was bound and wanted to go back home so he could be free. There is no such thing as freedom without a fence around it. There is no such thing as freedom without rules and regulations. Is that right? Freedom always comes with a boundary. Those that run wild have no master. They have no freedom. That prodigal left home, but he said, I'm going home, because there's freedom involved at daddy's house. Oh, God help us. I'm telling you, I'm glad that the Lord fences his people. I'm in his pasture. Let me ask you this question. Who was free? Noah in the ark or those outside? Who's free? The three Hebrew boys in the furnace or those outside? Who's free? Daniel in the den of lions or those on the outside? Freedom always comes with a fence. But oh, what a fence. What grace. What a God. What a master. What a feed trough. What a God that's taking care of us, providing for us. Amen. I'm glad that it proves ownership. It means that you belong. It also proves obedience. It's a boundary. Others know when you're getting close to the edge of the fence. And you know when you're getting close to the fence. And quit sticking your head through the fence and trying to get grass on the other side. Somebody said, boy, if I could just get over there. You get over there long, you'll walk back over here. Psalms 23, the shepherd in the first verses has got his head run through the fence, talking to another sheep about his shepherd. He said, I'm telling you, I ought to come over in this pasture. Said, my shepherd leads us by the still waters. My shepherd goes with us through the valley. Why, you ought to come over here. Your shepherd, I can tell by looking at you, your shepherd don't care nothing about you. You ought to come over here. Look at the pasture he's provided for us. Hey, I'm telling you, we got a great God. We got a great master. Isn't he wonderful? He is wonderful. But let me say, thirdly, we see that his owner feeds him. That's satisfaction. His owner fences him. That's security. And then his owner farms him. That service. You know what I love about him? He won't farm no other oxen but his own. It's his oxen that's got the gospel plow hooked to them. Now there's a lot of other oxen pulling a lot of other plows, but there ain't no fruitfulness involved. There's no lasting fruitfulness involved. And something else too. The Bible said you can't plow an ox and an ass together. God just won't hook you up with just anything and let you run with it. What we need to understand in this day that we're living in, what we need to understand is that we can't get in a yoke, in the yoke of the donkey. Somebody said, I think we ought to bring everybody together and let don't be so radical and don't just bring everybody together and let us. You can't plow ox and ass together.
Right.
Now watch this. You can feed them together. You can fence them together, but you can't farm them together. There's a lot of donkeys that's moved in and are feeding with oxen. There's a lot of donkeys that's jumped the fence and they're on the inside trying to act like an ox. But you hook them to a plow and you'll see there's the difference. There can be an old donkey even kill an ox and slip into its hide. But the way you can't tell the difference inside the fence, you can't tell the difference when you're feeding with them. But let them get in the plow with you. Let them get in the yoke with you. Y'all understanding any of this? I know you got to be a country boy to understand this. But I'm just simply saying, we can't hook up with everything that comes along. There are some areas that we can fellowship, but I want to tell you, when it comes to this blessed old book, when it comes to living right and being right, when it comes to staying right, we just can't hook up with everything that comes along. That's the trouble we're getting in today. Is that right? Somebody said, preacher, I figured by now you'd have kind of mellowed out a little. Listen, I'm trying to get us to understand, and I've been down this way a long time. I'll be 65 years old in another month. I can't believe I'm that old. You can't believe it. Say amen, somebody. Thank you, brother. I'm just simply saying, I'm looking back, and the way's a whole lot further back than it is ahead. And I know that. But I want to tell you, until there's the truth of God that's more witnessed to by the gray heads, the younger generation will never accept it. There's something about the hoary head that gets the attention of the younger ones. If it's the young ox that's saying it, nobody pays much attention. And I'm not belittling nobody. Don't misunderstand. I've done been down this road. But oh, when them old ox are still in that same yoke, pulling that same plow, there'll be a young ox or two say, I'd like to get in that yoke. Oh, listen to me, men. Listen to me. There's men in this building here that I've got great respect for. You blazed the trail long before I ever came along. And it's because of you that put it in my soul that the way is worth it. Amen. And I'm telling you now, I've got there and I want to leave something behind that others would want to know the truth and stay in the right way, Brother Jonathan. We've got too many that's fallen by the way, saying that they're keeping old-time religion alive when they don't know what old-time religion is. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a way that's right. There's a way of godliness. Stay with it, young men. Stay with the right. Let me finish. There's the owner feeds him that satisfaction. His owner fences him that security. The owner farms him, that's his service. But then the owner's finished with him. And that settles it. I'll leave off a lot and just say this right here. My dad-in-law was just about this tall. And when I came into the family, 47 years ago. He was training and breaking ox at the time. Brother Melvin, you met my dad-in-law. And he would get an ox and he would train it. But he had an old ox, old bully. He had been around a long time. My dad-in-law had used him for multiple things. My dad-in-law would quarry rock and he'd drag it out with old bully. He'd log logs and he'd skid them with old bully. Old bully, I remember one time he got his paperwood truck stuck in the creek. He had two mules, and I'm talking about two stout mules. He got it stuck in the mud in the creek, and the mules couldn't pull it out. So he said, here's what we'll do. We'll hook the tractor to the truck and hook the mules to the tractor, and we'll pull it out that way. So they tried it, and the more they tried, the more fast it became stuck. He said to my wife's uncle, Hughes, go get Bully. They went all the way. See, Bully's got old now, and they wasn't using him as much. Go get old Bully. They got old Bully. They said, unhook the tractor and unhook the horses. The horses are scared of Bully, or the mules. Are you all understanding? The horses are, and they won't pull. They won't pull much as long as Bully's around. Get them off over yonder. Unhook the tractor. Old Bully, they put that yoke on him. He got down there. And he got put, and he was a huge thing, weighed over 2,000 pounds. He put his shoulder into that harness, into that yoke. And I seen the chains tighten. And I heard them begin to creak and squeak. My dad-in-law got in that old truck and he put it in low gear with the horses. He'd put it in second. Here he put it in granny. Because Bully ain't fast, but he sure is stout.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
Oh, and I seen him as he's pulling and wasn't nothing happening. And I seen him get down, and what I noticed, the lower he got, the more strength he had. And he got plumb down to where his knees was under the water. And nobody was hollering at him. Nobody was telling him to get up. Nobody was doing that. He was just down there under the load. In just a few minutes, I seen him truck wheels begin to climb up out of that mud. Well, my dad-in-law put the brake on. It slid back down. Bully seen what happened, got him another foothold. And this time when he pulled it, it came all the way up out of the rut and eased that thing on across the creek. Slow but sure.
Amen.
Slow but strong. Slow but steadfast. I'm about to come apart. Old, but real.
Yeah.
Old Bully had a 2-acre fence that was fenced in just for him. In 168 acres, he had 2 acres that was his. Nothing else ever got in there. Old Bully died like a family member died. Old Bully died. I remember my dad-in-law taking his front end loader on his big tractor. Picked him up. Nobody knows what he done with him. He had went over, dug a big hole, buried old Bully. A month later, my dad-in-law found another young ox that looked like Bully, but he was so much younger and smaller. Now listen, I know what I'm talking about. At the time, I didn't pay no attention to it. But I'm paying attention to it now. He turned that young ox into that 2-acre pasture. That young ox run around the pasture. He run around the pasture. And he goes over in the far northwestern corner of the pasture. And he stops. That's where old Bully always stood. Then that young ox, you won't believe this, I wouldn't believe it. If you was preaching, I wouldn't believe it. But I was there and I saw it. That young ox came over there, and there was a particular place where old Bully wallowed. The grass now, after a month, had already started growing back. Couldn't hardly tell it from the rest of the pasture. I seen that young ox, and he laid down in that same spot and began to wallow. I looked at my dad-in-law. I said, "That's Bully's spot." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Them old oxen leave a scent that nobody else can smell." And he said, "That young ox is the only one that's able to detect where that was at." I said, "How long did that last?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I don't know how long that scent lasts. I just know that every ox I've ever dealt with knows where the last one's been." And I don't care how long it's been. He said, they know where it is. And he laid down and wallowed. I didn't pay much attention to it then, but now. There's some of us, our times, they don't call on us now as much as they did because we've got old and slow. And it may not be long till we'll be going on. But you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to leave a little bit of scent behind. To where these younger ones can just kind of wallow in it. I don't want it to be a bad sin. I don't want to leave a bad reputation. I don't want to leave a bad influence. Oh, Brother Tim, what you said. Brother Keith, Brother Michael, what you said. I don't want to fall. I don't want to mess up. There is one remedy to keep you from falling. That's to lean on him. Amen. It's impossible to fall leaning on him. Impossible. But let me say to you, you can't lean from a distance. The reason so many fall is that they've been walking at a distance, and when temptation hits, they try to lean on him, but they're too far away to lean, so they end up falling. You got to walk with him daily. Daily. Every hour of every day. There's got to be a God consciousness about you, or we'll go down. Lord, I've tried to give my heart for a few moments. Lord, I'm thanking you for how you ministered to my heart through the other two preachers and this singing, how that you have blessed. I thank you for Brother Tim. Lord, I'm amazed at what you're doing through him and for him. I pray, God, you'd continue to keep your hand on this ministry. God, let it be a place that in days to come will give forth a godly fragrance. Allow it to be so. May the realness of God settle in on these youngins. May the realness of God settle in on these youngins. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray.